Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Well, one morning, a young construction worker arrived at his job site, and he was already pretty stressed out. He was running late, and he's kind of worried about impressing the boss, but he was also distracted by things that were going on at home. And so he grabbed his tools, but then he realized quickly that he had forgot his hard hat in the truck. And so he thought to himself, you know, it's just going to be a second that I'm going to be out there. I'll just be really careful. Another coworker yelled out, hey, you forgot your hard hat. Oh, that's okay. It's going to be all right. As he carried a stack of lumber across the site, a wrench slipped from the hands of another worker a couple of stories up, and it struck him on the head, and he fell to the ground. Thankfully, he survived, but the concussion kept him out of working for months. And when he finally did return, he never forgot his hard hat again. Someone asked him, why are you so careful now? And he answered, I used to think that putting on the hard hat was just kind of slowing me down. I didn't realize that it was the very thing designed to protect me. This morning, as we continue in our series on building healthy spiritual rhythms into our lives, we're going to talk about building a healthy rhythm of prayer and how prayer is designed to protect us. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 6.
Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so last week as we started this series, we began by looking at how to build healthy routines for the whole family and centering ourselves on Jesus throughout the day. And as we did that, we asked a few questions about our routines. And this morning, as we look at this particular text, I want to do that again. I want to ask a few questions about another aspect of our spiritual life, which is our prayer life. But before we do that, let's just take a second to see what's going on behind the scenes in this particular passage. Now, Philippi was a Roman colony in Macedonia that was located along a major highway connecting the eastern provinces of the Roman Empire to the city of Rome itself. And because of that access, many of the Roman officials would actually retire there. They would kind of make their home base there after they were done serving in any kind of official capacity. And because these officials took up their home in Philippi, the city of Philippi was known for being quite a political place, a place where there was a lot of patriotism to Rome. But because of that, it made it very difficult for the Christians there. Anybody who had converted to Christianity, it made it very difficult for them. In fact, these very people that Paul is writing to in this letter, it made it specifically hard for them. And the reason is because when you become a Christian, you are now identifying with Jesus and you are declaring allegiance to him as king. In fact, the very title that the early church writers would use of Jesus, the Greek word Christ, was an equivalent to Messiah, and it meant anointed one. It was a kingly title. So to declare that Jesus is your Christ meant that you were saying, he is my king. He's the one that I follow. But to the rest of the Roman world, there was only one king, Caesar. Now, our Western culture, we also have a king. And it makes us difficult for us to declare our faith in Jesus and following Jesus as our own Christ for our own lives. and the king of our Western culture, it's just as ruthless as Caesar was, just as demanding, because the king of our culture is self. It's self. I rule myself. I do what I want. I am in charge of me. But for those of us who are seeking to follow Jesus, the kingdom of self is dynamically opposed to the kingdom of Jesus. The kingdom of self is dynamically opposed to the kingdom of Jesus. And much like the church in Philippi, much like they experienced, those who submit to Jesus as king, you are going to stick out. You're going to be very obvious to the rest of the world. And as a result of their submission to Jesus, the Philippian church, they began to suffer immense persecution for following him. And therefore, Paul, who's also suffering because he's in prison whenever he's actually writing this to the church in Philippi, he addresses the church's daily fear, their daily anxiety at the thought of death because they're following Jesus. And so what does Paul command them to do with that anxiety, with that fear of their own death? Does he tell them, hey, plan a strategic list of rules that guard against the influence of the world upon the church? Therefore, it's the church and the world, and therefore we're kind of separated. No. Does he say, hey, develop a detailed on-ramp for putting people in specific political offices so that way there's no longer persecution against the church? No, that's not what he says. What does he say? He tells the church to pray. To pray. When you're feeling that persecution, pray. Now, that word anxious, it isn't kind of defined in the Greek like we define it in our modern culture. The word literally in the Greek, it means this, to be divided into pieces. To be divided into pieces. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like with everything going on in your life that you feel like you're just pulled in like 500 different directions? All the women in here just said yes. I heard you, right? But that's what Paul's talking about. That's exactly what he's saying when he uses this word anxious. You're overwhelmed by your thoughts that it's almost impossible for you to think about just one particular thought. And again, what's Paul's remedy? Pray. Come before the Lord with all of those scattered and anxious thoughts. Bring them to him. Divided pieces in all, bring them before the Lord. Now, I want to stop here and I want to be honest with you. That is not usually my first go-to. Just being honest with you. That is not usually my default mode. Prayer is not usually the first thing that I do when I get anxious, when those thoughts are overwhelming. No, usually, I start to instinctively start to solve the problem. That's me as a dude, right? I start to solve the problem. Maybe I start to make a list, right? Okay, well, things I can do here. How could I handle this situation better, right? Or it may be that I call somebody and ask their opinion. Hey, listen, I am struggling with this. Can you kind of give me some of what you would do in the midst of this? But I seldom begin by prayer. And I think that's what so many of us often do. Instead of just sitting before the Lord in prayer, we try to work it all out in our minds first. We try to figure it all out in our mind. We take all of those pieces and we analyze the options, we make the pros and the cons. But here's the thing. Most of the time, we're the very problem. We're the problem. Remember, our mind is going in all sorts of different directions. That's what's making us anxious, because it's going in so many different directions. And to that, Paul says, do not be anxious, but pray. Pray. In other words, don't depend on yourself. Don't depend on you. Don't just immediately run to your own thoughts and begin to try to process things. No, depend on him. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon writes this. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Look at it. There it is again. Don't lean on your own understanding. Instead, submit your ways to God. Submit your circumstances to the Lord. That's what prayer is. It's the practical way that we stop leaning on our own understanding and we admit that we need God's help. We need him. Okay, but Pastor James, surely you don't mean everything. I mean, like, there are certain situations that surely I can do this on my own. I can handle this. I mean, I should, right? I shouldn't have to go to the Lord for that. This brings me to our first question that I want to ask you guys. What do you pray about? Ask yourself that question. What do you pray about? What do you bring before the Lord? What are the things that you give to him? And then I want us to reread this. Listen to what Paul says again to the Philippians. Here's what he says to pray about. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. So which situations? Every situation. Catch that. Not just the things that actually cause our mind to go in different directions, but everything. Everything should be brought before the Lord. Even if we think we can handle it, we should bring it to the Lord first. And listen, here's the thing. As those who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, emboldened to come before an almighty God through Jesus Christ, who made that sacrifice for us, to the God that is all-knowing, and the God who cares so deeply about us that he calls us his children, why would we not want to bring him everything? Why would we not want to bring that to him? Do we feel like it's a burden? Because the Lord doesn't feel like it's a burden. The Lord loves being there for his children. He loves to hear his children. Okay, so but how do I do that? Pastor James, how do I do that? How do I bring the things going on in my life before him? That's a great question. So let me ask you that question. How do you pray? Just think about it for a second. How do you pray? Is it a quick mealtime prayer? Is it one of those prayers where it's like, God, please help me because I've already screwed all this up. So if you could just do something in the midst of this, I know I messed it up. Could you just save me from this? Well, let's look at what Paul says. He says, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So he uses three words to describe how we should pray. Petition, prayer, and thanksgiving. Now the first word that he uses here, prayer, it's the most often cited word that's actually used in the New Testament for prayer. And it means this idea. It's just this idea of personal or corporate communion with God. It's simply having an ongoing relational dialogue with the Father, with God. You know, a lot of times I think that we think of prayer like this. We think that it's, you know, this devoted, quiet time of intense concentration. It's got to be an hour that I set aside for the Lord, right? Please hear me. That's not a bad thing. In fact, I wish that for all of us. I wish every single one of us would be able to have that kind of devoted time with the Lord. But I want you to catch something that Paul says in another letter. So in 1 Thessalonians, he gives us an actually seemingly more crazy standard than just that hour of prayer. And I want you to catch what he says. He says, pray continually. Pray continually. And here's what that means. Some of you might have it in your, if you were to flip over there, you might have it in there. Pray without stopping. Pray without stopping. That's a ridiculous standard, right? An hour was like, whoo, but then you're like, don't stop? Don't stop praying? What does that mean? Well, I actually love a commentary that I read on this and what he says, and I want to read it to you. It points to a pattern so steady and frequent that the breaks are negligible, conveying a life rhythm characterized by consistency rather than sporadic bursts. Consistency rather than sporadic bursts. Now, excuse kind of my terminology here, but our prayer should be throughout the day. Consistent, bringing to the Father the things that are going on in our lives, and not just those Hail Mary prayers. Take care of me, God. Right? Our prayer life should be marked by consistency. The next word he uses is petition. Now, some of your translations, they might use the word supplication. And that's actually what Paul's trying to convey here. It means that you are bringing him something specific, a need that you have, whether it's for yourself or whether it's for someone else. You're coming before God in humility and in need, expressing your dependency on him for whatever that is that you're asking him of. I think this is actually one of those things that's actually hard for us too. I think it's hard for us to do this because we kind of break what the New Testament author James says to his audience. Listen to what he says. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Unfortunately, far too often, when we ask God for things, we're asking so that we can get what we want. Remember, our culture tells us who's the king. The king is us. We ask so that we can please ourselves. Instead, our requests before God should come from a desire that he might be pleased. Like we sang about a minute ago, his will be done. Remember, he's our king. He's the king, not us, not ourselves. We're actually just beggars coming before a good and holy king. And we deserve nothing. We deserve nothing. But as beggars so often do, we're persistent in bringing those things before him. We don't give up. Yes, it should be about what he desires, but we continue to bring that before the Lord. I promise you, there are prayers that I pray persistently because I know they align with God's heart. And I'm sad that they haven't been answered yet, but I'm not going to stop bringing them because I know my God hears me. He listens. Jesus actually explains this in the Gospel of Luke. He tells the story about a poor widow who persistently keeps on coming before this judge seeking justice. And she keeps on bringing the need before him, and he's so pestered and bothered by it, but he finally says, fine, you can have what you need. That's exactly the way we're supposed to be. That's the way our prayers are supposed to look, that we're bringing it before the Lord so persistently, continuing to bring it before him. And then finally, Paul tells us that our prayer should be laced with thanksgiving. The word that Paul uses here is eucharista. It literally means gratitude for God's grace. So our prayers are filled with gratitude. They're filled with thanksgiving. They're bathed in it. Because part of the posture that we have to learn to take in prayer is recognizing exactly who we are. I kind of hinted on it a second ago. But we're the ones in need. We're the ones in need. We don't bring anything to the table. We don't have nothing to offer God in our relationship with him. No, we have been given everything. He has given it to us through his mercy and his kindness and his grace. He's the one who brings everything to the table. In fact, it's actually arrogant to think that you can come before God and that you can ask him for something because of something you've done. But how many times do we do that? Well, God, I did this, so you kind of owe me. Right? How many times do we do that? Prayer is not a bartering system. It's not a bartering system. Prayer is a relationship with the living God who is trying to change us into the image of Jesus. The God who became human like us, the God who died the death that we deserve to die, and then he raised to give us new life in him. This is the relationship that we have with this God. And he wants us to be like him. That's why prayer is bathed in gratitude. Because our whole life is a thanksgiving for what he has done, for what Christ has done for us. So according to Paul, here's how we pray. Consistently, at all times without stopping, persistently asking God to care for our needs, and gratefully recognizing his grace through our day-to-day. Here's my last question for you. Why do you pray? Why do you pray? I mean, what's the benefit? What's the benefit for you? Why spend that time? Why do that? Sure, researchers have connected that prayer or meditation actually helps people become healthy. And maybe that's enough reason. But here's what I've learned. I've learned a lot of times the why will determine the when. If we understand why we do something, it helps determine the when and the how often you will do it. And Paul says to the Philippian church that in the midst of this immense suffering and persecution, that we pray, and here's what he says, so that the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that peace that Paul's explaining to us is not a peace that we often think of in our terminology, in our context, because we often think of peace as the absence of conflict or war, right? That's not biblical peace. Peace, according to the Bible, is the flourishing of an individual physically, relationally, and economically. It carries this idea in the sense of wholeness and completeness. There's a contentedness that even comes with it. So Paul tells us that this kind of wholeness and this kind of flourishing, it's going to guard, it's literally going to defend our hearts and our minds against whatever comes against us. And the picture that Paul is painting, and I love it, especially if you're a dude, you get this, right? It's this fortified city whose walls have these sentinels that are guarding over it, keeping watch for anything that would attack it. And they're protecting the city. That's exactly what our prayers are like. Our prayers are like these sentinels. And the peace of God, which can only come through reconciliation through the cross, from what Jesus has done, like we said a second ago, it literally is protecting us from anything else that attacks our hearts and minds. That's why we pray. Now imagine this. Imagine you get a phone call at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday. We're eliminating your position, your supervisor says. And suddenly your mind is flooded with all sorts of thoughts. You're thinking about the mortgage. You're thinking about the groceries. You're thinking about retirement. You're thinking about your kids. All of this is crashing your mind at the same time. But before you even think of adjusting your resume, what would happen if you stopped and you brought that situation to God in prayer? You start by acknowledging that none of this surprises him. He's not surprised by it. And then second, you thank him because you know that you are his child. He cares immensely for you. He loves you deeply. And then as you kind of begin to daily bring this before the Lord, you're thanking him in all of these things that you're beginning to see, how he's providing for you. He's taking care of the food that you have. He's given you a bed. He's got the family surrounding you, even your church family who's starting to bring groceries for you over to the house. And as you do that, all along, God is reinforcing your mind with the truth that you're not in control, but he is. That he is. And he's taking care of all of your needs. And then you begin to trust that just the same way that he's taking care of every single one of those needs, as you're bringing the prayer for a job before him, he's going to take care of that too. That's what it means. That's what it means to be guarded by the peace of God as you pray. And that's the kind of peace that brings unexplainable contentment into your life. Listen, like I alluded to a moment ago, for those of us who've trusted in Christ's sacrifice through the cross for us, Scripture tells us that we have unlimited access to the throne room of God. That at any time we can come before the Lord and he's going to listen and he's going to hear us, and that he's for us. We don't have to go to anyone else. We don't have to go through anyone else. Christ already did that for us. He is our mediator. He's the one that we can take that to. And we know that we're his loved children in the midst of that, because that's what Jesus secured for us. But listen, I recognize that some of you in this room, you maybe have never trusted in what Christ has done for you. You don't have this kind of relationship with him where you feel that peace in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of difficult circumstances. You don't know what it's like to be a loved child of God. And my prayer for you this morning is that you would not leave this room until you do know. We want you to know that. We want you to experience God like that. And so I'm asking that if that's you, if there's a conversation you need to have, Pastor Ronald, Pastor Philip, we will be around this morning. We would love to talk with you a little bit more about that. Now remember, I said that I really wanted this series to be really practical, right? I kind of gave you a high level right there, talking through that Philippians passage, but I wanted to be really practical. So this morning, as we're kind of talking about our prayer life, here is a practical way that you can pray during the day. Remember, our prayers are supposed to be consistent, right? So this is a way that you can develop kind of a prayer life. And if you can just remember the acronym SIT, can you remember that? Can you remember to sit with God, right? You'll be able to remember this. It's pretty easy, okay? So here we go. So in the mornings, just take a few moments to surrender. Surrender yourself to the Lord. And it may look like this. Lord, here's my schedule. And just walk through what you've got going on that day. Just surrender it to him. to say, Lord, this is my day today. Will you just have it? Will you do in it what you desire and do in me what you desire today? And the key is that as you continue through the day, that you're continuing to kind of pray that prayer, right? God, do in me what you want. Do in this situation what you want. And then at lunch, maybe the middle of the day, maybe you say a prayer of intentionality. Here's what this would look like. God, is there something or someone that you want me to be intentional with right now? God, would you give me the eyes to see what it is and the wisdom to act upon it? So prayer of intentionality. And then finally, at the end of the day, maybe before turning off the lamp beside your bed, or maybe after you've turned off the TV, you say a prayer of thanks. Thanksgiving. God, thank you for today. And maybe even acknowledge where you saw God at work in that day. Thank him for that. God, thank you for the way that you moved in that relationship with my coworker. God, thank you for the blessing that I have of a family. Whatever it is, thank God for that. Surrender, intentionality, thanksgiving. This is how we can sit with the Lord in prayer. I just want to make you aware of a couple more resources that we have in the lobby, okay? One is an assessment. This one kind of goes along with this message series. We made it specifically for this message series. And it's just an assessment of your prayer life, just a couple of questions to kind of analyze your prayer life, and then a place for you to kind of set some new goals. All right, going into this school year, what's going to be the rhythm for my life when it comes to prayer? So you can grab that one out there. Another one we have out there, we made this a couple of years ago when we did the Lord's Prayer together as a church. We made a little booklet. And so it walks through Jesus' prayer, and you're able to kind of analyze his prayer and think about how you also can pray as the Lord teaches us and directs us how to pray. So I encourage you, grab one of those, grab both of those, whatever you need, grab those before you leave. Now listen, no matter if that construction worker had his hat on or not, that wrench was going to fall. That wrench was going to fall. Now, him having that hat definitely would have protected him. Would have been a lot better. I can say this confidently. Prayer is not going to prevent difficulty. It's not going to prevent us from facing difficulty. Paul doesn't promise that in the passage. He doesn't say that. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. That's not what he says. But what he does promise is something even better. That when we bring everything to God in prayer, the peace of God himself will stand guard over our hearts and minds in those difficulties. That's why prayer isn't just something that we kind of casually do or maybe squeeze in when we have a moment. It's a valuable thing because it is protecting us. It's protecting us every day. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, this morning, if we're all just completely honest, we recognize our own prayerlessness. God, that we don't bring everything to you in prayer. Even understanding and knowing how deeply you love us and how much you care for us, we don't bring it all to you. We confess that and we repent of that. But this morning we also say that we want to be more consistent in our prayer life. We want to be able to sit with you, Lord. That we would surrender our days to you. That we would acknowledge that they belong to you. You are our king. We're not king of our life. God, that you'd help us to be intentional, that you'd give us your eyes for people and situations and places. God, to see people the way that you want us to see them. Father, that we would end our day in thanksgiving because your grace is so incredible. The way that you move in our life, even when we don't recognize. But Father, help us to be more intentional about recognizing it. And help us to give you gratitude for all that you do. God, we do thank you. We praise you for Jesus, what he has done for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support Community Fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.